This is Family Policy Matters. This program is produced by the North Carolina Family Policy Council, a pro-family research and education organization dedicated to strengthening and preserving the family. And now from the studio, here's John Rustin, president of the North Carolina Family Policy Council.
Thank you for joining us this week for Family Policy Matters. It is our pleasure to have Eric Stanley back with us on the program. Eric serves as senior legal counsel for the Alliance Defending Freedom at its Kansas City Regional Service Center, where he heads up the Alliance Defending Freedom Church Project. Eric is with us to continue an important discussion we started last week about a new must-have legal manual that ADF has produced for churches, Christian schools, and other ministries entitled Protecting Your Ministry. We'll be picking back up with our discussion of this new resource with Eric, including why it is important and where ministries can go to obtain a free copy. Eric, welcome back to the program.
Thanks. It's great to be with you.
I described the Protecting Your Ministry manual as a must-have, and it really is a must-have for churches and other ministries, including Christian schools. Why is this a resource that every ministry should not only have, but put to use?
Well, one of the things that we've seen, and I think the marriage decision from the Supreme Court is probably the biggest example of this, is there is a rise in the conflict between the conflict between religious freedom and sexual license. And we've seen this develop over the years where with the application and the kind of creation of these non-discrimination ordinances that prohibit discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation or gender identity. We've seen this in a number of different contexts over the years with, and even recently with the florists and the cake makers, the t-shirt printers, and even some others, in the professional realm, Christian counselors and attorneys and others who really the right to live out our faith is something that is being endangered by the sexual revolution and its most recent aspect. And so this battle has confronted churches, religious organizations, Christian schools, and it will continue to confront them in the future. And so really now is the time to take the proactive steps that are necessary to make sure that your faith is very strictly defined, very clearly defined, I should say, and that all of your policies dealing with these issues are in place, so that if there's a legal issue that arises, you are most protected. It may not forestall a lawsuit. We can't stop people from suing, but it may help your church or your Christian school or your Christian ministry to get out of a lawsuit faster if you've got your policies and documents in order.
Now, ADF also advises ministries to enact religious employment requirements. Explain for us, if you will, what the employment policy should include and how such a policy will help protect ministries.
Well, this is really something that every religious organization, Christian school, church needs to take the time to do, is to have a job description for each position in the church. And to specify in that job description how that particular position carries on the faith and mission of the church or the religious organization. So one example I always give is, the pastors of a church are very easy, but say, what about the church receptionist, the person who answers the phone? Well, you might want to put into that job description that this person is required to take calls, to answer questions about the church's religious beliefs, to potentially pray with the callers who call in, to potentially offer some initial crisis counseling, according to religious principles of the church. Essentially, how does every position in the church or religious organization, how does it carry on the faith and mission of the church? So take some time to do that, because what that allows lawyers to do is, if there's ever an employment dispute, if someone says, well, I should be allowed to work here even though I don't like the church's religious beliefs, what that enables us to do is to argue and say, no, your position is something that is required to carry on the faith and mission of the church, and so there are great constitutional protections, and we shouldn't be forced to have an employee who disagrees with us. Mm-hmm. So that's it. That's vitally important. There's no real magic language here. There's nothing that you have to put this particular language in. It's just a matter of making sure that that's covered, and making sure that that job description is covered. Another thing that we tell churches to do is have your employees sign that they have read and they agree to abide by that statement of faith that you have, and that you're going to update with statements on marriage and gender and human sexuality. That's just another level of protection, again, to make sure that this is not just any other employment decision. This is an employment that is infused with the religious beliefs of the organization or the church, and so it needs to be treated differently than just any other job.
Well, the legal manual also includes a discussion of local ordinances, and you've talked about this already a couple of times, but I want to dig into it a little bit deeper. These local ordinances that create special legal protections based on an individual's sexual orientation, gender identity, or gender expression, and we've come to know these in the public policy circles as SOGI ordinances or SOGI laws. Now, these types of ordinances are being pushed and enacted in an increasing number of localities across the country, and in fact, we recently faced an effort by the Charlotte City Council to implement just such a policy in Charlotte. Fortunately, that effort was defeated, and North Carolina is not covered with cities and counties that have adopted SOGI ordinances, but we have heard of more and more and more efforts to try to get these types of policies enacted on the local level. Tell us about these ordinances and how they could be used to threaten the religious liberties of churches and other ministries in particular.
Well, really, what these ordinances are, and you're right, John, that there's been an uptick in these, and some of them have been around for many years, but they prohibit so-called discrimination in different areas. And usually these ordinances prohibit discrimination in employment decisions, in housing, and in what they call places of public accommodation. The prototypical place of public accommodation would be a restaurant or a hotel, any place that's open generally to the public. Now, where the problem comes in is that there are some legal questions about is a church service open to the public? Is that a place of public accommodation? Is a Christian school a place of public accommodation? What about a religious organization that has a marriage retreat and opens it to the general public? Are those considered places of public accommodation? It also comes into play in the employment context, where someone who may decide to apply for a job opening at a Christian organization but is engaged in a homosexual lifestyle, is that organization going to be forced to hire that person or not to fire that person if they maybe come out during their employment? So those ordinances pose a specific incredible threat to churches and religious ministries. One of the things that we've seen and that we will see is generally there's been a push to pass these at the statewide level so that a state like North Carolina would be covered by the whole state. There are some states like North Carolina that have not done that. And where that is the case, the battlegrounds move to city by city and county by county. And we're seeing that in other states. I will say I just read a strategy document from a homosexual legal advocacy group just last week who is wanting, in the wake of in the aftermath of the Supreme Court marriage decision, to pour millions of dollars into city by city getting these SOGI ordinances adopted. Their goal is to, and this is explicitly stated, their goal is to prohibit religion from being used as what they call an excuse to discriminate. And they want to do that by passing these SOGI ordinances. So these things have to be stopped in their tracks, like happened with Charlotte. Or if they're adopted, then is when the steps that we're saying in the Protecting Your Ministry Manual, those need to happen because those issues are going to arise. especially with churches and religious organizations.
And I would just to caution our listeners that the Charlotte ordinance that was proposed there, the definition of public accommodation was extremely broad. So it's not just restaurants, hotels, libraries, but it appeared to be just about any type of organization or entity, including schools and others. So definitely something that our listeners need to be very aware of and sensitive to. And if they hear any rumblings of such an ordinance effort being made in their community, to contact the North Carolina Family Policy Council and let us know so that we can be on top of that. But suffice it to say that the threats of these efforts and activities are very real, and we all need to be on guard and make sure, as ADF is helping folks to do, to be prepared to have the strongest defense against those efforts and attacks by individuals who do not share our belief that marriage is only the union of one man and one woman. Now, Eric, the manual includes a number of sample policies for ministries to use as a guide, which I think is extremely helpful. It is not that the ministries and churches will have to develop these policies out of thin air, but you give them great examples of kind of the proper policies, the ideal policies that they can develop. Give us a few examples of those policies, if you would.
Well, sure. Yeah, and that's one of the things that we really wanted to do, is to encourage churches and Christian ministries to pass these policies. One of the things that we've seen over the years is that a lot of organizations just don't know where to start. And so we provide the sample language. As I said, there's no magic language here. These are just starting points, but you can feel free as a church or a Christian ministry to adopt these policies in full as they're written, as the sample language, or you can modify them in any way. The point is not the necessary language, but that the issue itself is covered. So we've talked about statements of faith on marriage and gender and human sexuality. One thing that we also recommend is a statement of the final biblical authority for the church or Christian ministry. And this would be kind of a catch-all provision of who makes the call when the statement of faith does not explicitly speak on that issue. So if there's, you know, it's hard to kind of peer into the future and know what may come up and then draft in advance of that. So this would, again, be kind of a catch-all provision to say, if there's an issue that's not clearly covered by the statement of faith, then we as a ministry are going to designate, maybe it's the pastor or the board of elders or the deacon board, or maybe it's the board of directors of the Christian ministry, that they will make the final call as to what the religious beliefs of the organization are in that instance. So it's those kinds of policies that we think would be really helpful, and would position the church or the Christian ministry to really have an effective defense should these issues come to light in the future.
Well, Eric, unfortunately, we are out of time for this week, but I want to give you an opportunity to let our listeners know where they can go to access this incredible resource from Alliance Defending Freedom, Protecting Your Ministry.
Absolutely. It's very easy. You can go to alliancedefendingfreedom.org /church. So it's alliancedefendingfreedom.org/church. All you have to do is put in your name and your email address there, and you can download the manual for free, or you can request that a printed copy would be sent to you. We're not charging for this manual. In fact, I would just encourage your listeners, we want to get this out far and wide to as many churches, as many Christian ministries as we can, because these battles are coming, and they're going to intensify. But this is going to happen, so it's time to be prepared. So alliancedefendingfreedom.org/church.
Well, Eric Stanley, thank you so much for your work at Alliance Defending Freedom and for taking time out of your schedule to talk with us today about the Protecting Your Ministry legal manual. It's been a pleasure having you on Family Policy Matters, and we wish you the best and pray that God will bless you and the continued work of ADF.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on, and hey, we look forward to working with you guys in the future.
Great. Thank you, Eric.
Thank you.
Before we close, I'd like to invite you to follow the North Carolina Family Policy Council on Facebook. Just log in and find us at ncfamily.org. Again, at ncfamily.org. Be sure to like us when you visit. In addition, for instant updates on pro-family news of interest, follow us on Twitter at ncfamily.org. Again, that's at ncfamily.org.
Family Policy Matters is an information and analysis feature of the North Carolina Family Policy Council. Join us weekly for discussion on policy issues affecting the family. If you have questions or comments, please contact us at 919-807-0800 or visit our website at ncfamily.org.